banking. So last week we were talking about the banks, weren't we? We were saying, hello, when are they going to tell us what's happening during this whole COVID-19 disaster? Well, we do have Jacques Salier, who is the CEO of FNB, to talk about some of the relief that they'll be offering. I know he was busy behind the scenes pushing very hard, I'm told, for some of the relief that we are seeing. People are asking, hey, but are they going to charge us interest? Don't worry, we'll chat to Jacques next. Janusz, a quick one from you in Fishhook. How are you doing?
Hi, Kino. We're doing fine at the moment. Locked completely in our houses, luckily in the houses, in the garden, with the space to walk around, no dog, no cats. Mm. So we are doing fine. Thank you very much for asking. And actually, the reason why I'm phoning, because we should supposed to obey the rules, obey the rules which are given. It's our life and life of other people. Also, we've got in our computer site the Far South COVID-19 response group. It's a very interesting group. And I propose maybe some people from other side of the Cape Town and all over the country have something like this, because we can ask the question, where we can go, where is any dentist available, where is any medical stuff, which we can go.
And I think that's important, Janusz. I think, you know, having those WhatsApp groups and make sure that the information that's spread on those groups are credible, and credible people are part of these groups. So we've heard with COVID-19 and our downgrade, thank you very much for that, Moody's, like we needed it right now. My personal opinion is that 2008 is going to look like a picnic if we continue with 40% of the globe being shut down the way it is. Yes, China might have recovered, but China still has to deliver supplies into supply chains. And a lot of countries are on lockdown. A lot of businesses aren't operating, like us, right here in South Africa. A lot of people have been put on short time. I felt so sorry for one of the petrol attendants at the engine close to where I live, who said, well, you know, he's only now working on half time, which means he loses out quite a bit. And I said that I would try my best to assist him if I can. And that there are lots of people who are not getting paid at all. But a lot of these people have bonds. A lot of these people have to pay cars on a monthly basis. And if those debit orders bounce, generally speaking, in a normal world, the bank would have had you by the ear if you didn't phone them and say, listen, according to NCR, you need to make a plan. And you'd probably be out of a house. But it's not business as usual. Two banks, I think it was Standard Bank and Nedbank, initially came out and said, listen, we're going to offer some relief. Some of them had the cheek of adding interest. So let's find out what FNB has to offer. Jacques Saliers, who's the CEO of FNB. Good to have you on the phone, Jacques.
You know, thanks for having me, and thanks for the listeners.
Now, I know as a business, a long, long, long time ago, you've already looked at moving your staff to work remotely. So this has been a reasonably easy exercise for you to continue operating as a bank. Am I right?
Kino, yeah. So the last few weeks, priority one for us was just to make sure that we can truly live up to the expectations of what an operating reality would look like in the country lockdown. So we were grateful of a good momentum in some of our digital storylines and our platforms and working remotely, but obviously many customers still wasn't all set up on those things. So we focused the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks of the last sort of month, just to make sure that we get behind, you know, sort of over that curve. So that's been great for us, and we are very proud and grateful for the customers that have done their part and helped us to accept more digital and electronic means, and also our employees for the massive job they've done to get us here. So operationally, we are in a very good space at the moment.
Now, this is good to know. And obviously, the Reserve Banks come forward, and they've provided extra liquidity for the banks as well, so that you can operate effectively. Now, the question is, though, what about ordinary people on the ground? And just before I get you to answer that, I saw a communique from one of the representatives of Zenprop stating that their mall customers will not get any reprieve. I mean, I was so livid when I saw that. We're trying to get the Zenprop CEO on. These are the same people who own part of that Discovery building where, you know, Discovery's paying 23 million rand or something along those lines per month. And then you look at smaller businesses inside malls that are probably going to have to close, and it looks like this business doesn't care. So my question to you, Jacques, is does FNB care about its clients? And if so, what are you doing?
Yeah, so let me quickly take the listeners through the sort of, I guess, the industry approach.
Yeah.
And obviously, we fit into some of that ourselves.
Mm.
We spent the best part of the last 3 weeks, a lot of effort has gone into getting our competition authorities to give us some reprieve to be able to work together as an industry, and that we're grateful for their relief.
Mm.
We've also worked hard with the Saab and to work towards capital relief, liquidity relief, and also accounting treatments in what we have to report into, so to make sure that we have the levers that we would need to use before we go out with offers to clients. Because the problem is you try and make an offer, you try and make a promise, and then they tell you you can't do this, or you try and suggest that, and you can't do that. So we had to get our ducks in a row properly before we start confusing society. And that's now gotten us to a stage where, as an industry, we're starting to be able to formalize our solutions and suggestions. In today's announcements, we took out what we refer to as our phase one announcements.
Okay.
And we're going to have a few phases. Like I'll share a bit of the framework with the listeners.
Okay.
Phase one, we are focusing on clients that were in good banking status and stature before COVID. So people that had paid up they weren't behind anything. They were good customers in our books. And if it wasn't for COVID, this month would have been a normal month. And so what we wanted to do is make sure that we hit our first stab at solutions into clients that we know that we're going to have to rely a lot on as the markets open up again post-COVID. Mm. You know, it's pointless for us to try and kickstart the economy and most people can't open their doors, you know, because they've got some problems on outstanding debts and stuff. So we worked hard on that. And now if you look at our client base, roughly 40 to 45% of our customers have a credit facility with us, everything from unsecured lending to mortgages, and this is across in consumer ranges as well as commercial ranges.
Mm-hmm.
And of that 45%, we wanted to make sure that between 70 and 80% of our clients would be eligible for a solution to get them to the other side of this disruption. So what we brought to market today under phase one helps it could potentially help if people want it. Obviously, it's still their choice as to they want it, but the relief facility that we've made available would allow them then to refinance their current bonds and vehicle loans and credit facilities and insurances they have with us as a bank. That they could then restructure under a very favorable rate interest rate with no fees over whatever period would suit them. So maybe it's another 3 years or 4 years or 5 years or whatever, so that it allows them to be able to keep their doors open, to use their current cash flow they have, to keep their salaries paid, and to make sure that they're able to operate when the country starts up again.
Brilliant.
So that's the principle of our broad offer.
Yep.
Phase two will see us start looking at innovations for people who weren't in good standing effectively as it was going into the, you know, sort of COVID. Mm. That was just a consequence of normal economy strains that we were already seeing.
Mm.
People were battling already. So that phase two, lots of work is still going on in the industry between ourselves and government to try and free up some resources if there are potentially. Obviously, the government is re-looking at their books at the moment as well. These early reliefs that we're offering are reliefs that we have to do out of our own resources, so it's not someone else helping us with that. So we had to make sure that we can actually afford it, and we are, the bank must be in good standing too by the time the doors open again. Because Alan, you know, first hand we always refer to, we can't afford to have a bunch of zombie banks by the time the doors open again. We have to be solid, and we have to be stable, and our country, you know, for it to get going again, we'll have to rely on the banking industry to support it. So that's the theme of our help that we put into market.
And obviously people can then phone either their private bankers or speak to officials to help them look at that, see whether they qualify, and they'll get all the advice. My only thing here around this is a lot of your clients are small businesses. I know you've got, what, over 500, 600, maybe even more small businesses on your books, right?
Yeah.
some of them might not be in good standing because maybe some of the business models, maybe some of the businesses show potential, but the business models aren't what they should be. What about banks offering, and I don't know if you do this, and maybe you do, assistance outside of just the financial to help people actually look at some of those businesses that show potential and just help them get back on the straight and narrow? Because in the world today, Jacques, if as a business you fail, everybody looks you skiff. And we all know, and we keep saying this when we go to these conferences, that you need to be able to fall forward, stand up, and then learn and have a stronger business. What role is the bank playing as far as that is concerned?
You see, I mean, you know, that's a topic that we could, we're inspired by and we're excited. I mean, we obviously have a lot of momentum in these things. You know, if you think about starting businesses, the first job is for a bank is to make it very easy to start a business.
Yeah.
Especially to start up a bank account. And what we're grateful for is even our support with the regular, with the government, you know, just our integration with SIPCs. Nowadays, you can open a bank account with a selfie and you can register your company and you can go. So the admin that used to be associated with starting and being able to have the basic infrastructure together, having a phone and have a bank account and registered with authorities, that by and large has been dealt with. The second thing is then obviously the idea generation and business planning. We spend lots of time to help our customers where they start up businesses to try and see if they have viable stuff.
Your app's got some amazing stuff in there as well.
Yeah, we've launched some good stuff from Darbars and everything. We help there. The next one is then access to finance. That's hard for us to do in the absence of having a little contract or having a little bit of track record on cash flow. So often people still rely on, you know, friends and family to help them through the first month or two. But as soon as they get track record and they see a bit of regularity of income, then we can easily start facilitating some of the access to capital. Okay. And then the last thing is obviously access to market. And there we try and introduce our value chains. People like, let's say we've got a good customer who's a commercial customer, and some people want to access a market, then our relationship structures allow a lot of introduction for markets to each other. And it's because that's obviously very important. You know, you could have the best business and the best capability, but you just don't have access to the markets. And even our own supply chains, like what we supply today, in the press release you would have seen today, we've expedited how we pay suppliers to us.
Yep.
And in that we've processed more than R1 billion over the last few days to free up liquidity into those customers who supply to us. And part of those, 200 million of that is into small businesses that supply services to FirstRand. So we support with our own supply chains as well as into our client supply chains. We try and link these things up, but you know, you're right. There's just so much more we must do.
Absolutely. But I mean, at least you started doing it. And a birdie whispered in my ear saying that you've been so passionate about this, you've been pushing everybody into the right direction. So good on that. Jacques Salier, the FNB CEO. Thank you for your time.